Welcome to Patterns and Possibilities, Curious Conversations with Ms. Handy. I'm so pleased to begin a new pattern of inquiry that involves an up-close and personal conversation with special guests around the globe who actively use human systems dynamics to transform the patterns in their world. That new pattern of inquiry begins with our special guest right now. I'm delighted to invite another special guest to our curious conversation. This guest is one that you've heard from before, and it is Glenda O. Young, the executive director and founder of Human Systems Dynamics. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast all season, we began this pattern of curious conversations with Glenda. But I thought it would be a great end to season two to invite her back and circle back to Circle Pines, where we began this conversation this year. But this time we have totally different questions for Glenda. Glenda, welcome back to Patterns and Possibilities.
Thank you so much, Tamla. I am just really happy to have seen this arc and to bring it back to the complete circle. So happy to be with you.
Well, I am equally delighted, and I'm excited about diving into our conversation. So there has been some talk from folks who may not be really familiar as I am, and maybe as you are, with human systems dynamics. And there's this big thing called the human systems dynamics vision, which is people everywhere thrive because we see patterns clearly, seek to understand and act with courage to transform turbulence and uncertainty into possibility for all. And so in sharing that vision with individuals who may not be up close and personal with HSD on a regular basis, some have felt or assumed that it may be sort of an exclusive thing. So my question for you is, can you explain the we in the vision and the relationship to people everywhere?
That is such a good question. And like many, it has a really simple answer. As we were drafting and reviewing the vision, we tried lots of different pronouns there to try to capture what we were after. And we ended up with we, knowing that sometimes it would have these connotations or hints of we as opposed to others. But we as opposed to others was not our intention. When we use the word we mean we, all of us, inclusive of any human being who will thrive. So that was our intention. And it's interesting, as you ask this question, and I've been hearing this question, I've wondered what other word we might use. Because I see in today's challenges, whether it's climate change or tragedy in the Middle East or response to political discord or even domestic violence or individual depression and this kind of anger or fear that we have as we look into the future, that one of the fundamental patterns there is this isolation. And it seems to me that English feeds into that isolation with our pronouns. So if I'm thinking about the human community, I can think about it in first person. I can think about I, or maybe plural, we. But that separates I, we from the rest. We can think about in second person, they, he, she, it, or they, which is even more separation of what is outside me and us. And then even more than that, I can go to third person and say it, right? They out there, not you, not you, not you, but third person, all of the theys that are out there. And those are our only choices. Now, in Texas, we use y'all, which is the second person you, but a lot of you. And so Texans have kind of tried to fill in that space a little bit, all of y'all. But we don't have a way in English to have a pronoun that represents all people thrive. It just isn't one. So I'm wondering if we need one. Maybe we could call it, rather than singular and plural only, we can call it singular, plural, and inclusive. But what would that look like? I and all of those who are me. You, it's it really touches me even to think about this. You and all of us who are used, you'd out there. They and me as a part of they and them and it and whole. What does that look like? What is a word that we might use? So Sanskrit has the word om, om, O-H-M, that means all and everything. And that's not just like sentient human beings and everything. It's everything and everything. And so Sanskrit has that idea. But I'm just wondering what we might use that would say all people and all the context in which we work and all the ecosystems in which we live, all of everything thrives because we're able to see patterns, seek to understand, and take choices that build coherence and possibility for all. And that's the intention. And I'm still searching for language to capture that. And when we find it, we, the om we, find it, maybe all y'all, all us, will be better and more able to find solutions that are fit for all.
Well, that's such a really rich and deep question, Glenda. And I personally love the vision, but I can share, even though I'm on the inside now looking out, when I came to the community of HSD, I was a stranger. And what I found is the actual enlivening, the enlivening, living, breathing vision come to be. So I came in from the outside, but I'm now part of what you're expressing in the vision. I'm part of the people everywhere thrive, and I'm actually thriving because of HSD. So I wanted to highlight for the audience that even though the words, with our interpretation, things may sound one way or may seem one way, but I guarantee you when you come into any HSD environment, you're going to instantly feel as though you're part of the people everywhere.
Thank you, Tamla.
You're welcome. I also want to invite you to talk about something that is really foundational for HSD, which is curiosity. And I'm sure that your curiosity flows in and out of lots of things. But what I'm wondering is, what are you most curious about these days?
Oh, what a great question. What a great question. The thing that's really driving my curiosity is the numbers and kinds of separations that exist. There seem to be divisions that are intractable and unbridgeable, whether it's Israel and Gaza, whether it's Republican and Democrat, whether it's Russian and Ukrainian, whether it's my neighbor and myself, sometimes even whether it's myself and myself. So I'm really curious about how we can take these divisions that are so deep and wounding and find a way to build and draw from and to generate with the energy that lies between them. What does it look like to build a boundary, a container in which those differences can be generative? What does it mean to build exchanges across them so that they can create what is possible in that painful intersection? It's a kind of healing writ large. It's a kind of learning writ large. It shows up in all scales and all places. But to me, that bringing together is the thing that I'm most curious about. There is a phrase that comes out of the Jewish tradition that is to heal the world. And that is the mission, the perspective, the expectation, the commitment of many in the Jewish culture to heal the world. And that, tikkun olam, I believe is how it's said. I encourage everybody to look it up because my pronunciation is probably not right, but it is the concept that it's our job as human beings to heal the world in any way it's possible. So my curiosity these days is, how can I do that? How can we do that? How can we all, in the inclusive sense, do that every day?
So as I listen to you talk about those differences, the thing that's coming to mind is the simple rule in HSD, finding energy in difference. So I'm curious, Glenda, how have you personally found a way to attack some of those things that you talked about, the intractable, the unbridgeable? How have you been able to find the energy in difference?
Good question. It's hard to put it in past tense because I'm constantly doing it. So this question about finding always the energy and difference, because it's interesting, as soon as that process, the loop of adaptive action is complete, then another division emerges. And then the next, oh, what's that? So what energy is there now? What will there be? And so it's a perpetual kind of journey. And so the ways that I am doing that, the first one is, I think, just being aware when I'm stuck. And of course, I get stuck in lots of ways, emotionally, intellectually, in terms of business and finance and personal planning and physical limitations and just being aware when I'm stuck. And then to be able not to use a lot of energy fighting the stuckness, but breathing into it, stepping back and try to see, so what is it that is sticking me, or how have I found myself stuck in this place? And then to say, is there some other way I can engage with that it would not stick? And I can't always be creative enough or insightful enough to recognize when I'm stuck. I can't always be patient enough to see what's sticking me. And I certainly can't always be creative enough to see what an alternative might be. But that's why working in community is so important. That others will say to me, hey, Glenda, looks like you're stuck. Are you stuck? Or they'll say, I'm seeing this. What are you seeing? Or they'll say, hey, I've been stuck there. This might work. Or what about that? Or how? And so that whole idea about being in curiosity and being in curiosity in community is what feeds into each of those steps. When I'm stuck in what, because I can't see it. I'm stuck in so what, because I can't see something else. when I'm stuck in now what, because I'm so focused on myself and my own current frustration that I can't move forward, that really is what drives the curiosity and possibility for me. And again, as you say, Tamala, it's about adaptive action. What, so what, now what, until the cows come home.
I'm thinking about some of the personal things that you've just talked about, some of your own struggles. And in thinking about healing the world, if we take a step back and begin with healing ourselves, I'm curious, what's been the biggest wicked issue that you face, one that you had to find a way to heal yourself? And how hard or easy was it to navigate that wicked issue?
Yeah, boy. There are two that I'm wrestling with right now. One very personal and one more community, larger system. So one is about my sight. And you know, and I think many people know that I'm losing my sight, or at least it's shifting. And that has been such an interesting journey. It's a degenerative situation. So each day I kind of wake up and wonder, is it going to be, how much worse is it going to be today? Is it going to be the same, or is it going to be worse today? And so that adaptive action of surprising, oh, I could do that yesterday, I can't do it today, so what, now what? And to be able to do that, and it's about being able to do stuff, but it's also about my own picture of myself in the world. It's also my own engagement with other people. It's being able to depend on other people in ways that I never did before. I've been independent, thinking of myself as an independent entity until I was three, since I was three. I remember when I was three saying, okay, well, I'm here by myself, here we go. And loving that. And that kind of independence has been really deep in my identity. And so that is an ongoing adaptive process. So that one has been, you ask if it's hard or easy. It's so interesting. It sometimes it's really hard. It's never exactly easy, but there's something about it's either smooth or bumpy, more than easy or hard. So I think of it as, oh, today was smooth. I came across, I got stuck, I got unstuck in a really smooth way, or I got stuck and I stayed stuck and it was really bumpy getting out. So that's the metaphor that comes to me, smooth or bumpy. And I had always thought about my journey as being a divergent journey, that wherever I was, my world was getting larger and broader. From, you know, the little West Texas towns where I grew up, my goal was to see more of the world, get a broader picture of the world, see it differently and more in a generative way. And so I've seen my path as being very divergent. My whole life, always looking for what creates more freedom and more possibility. And here, I mean, it would be true just growing older, but it's also in the maturity of the field. It's also in my sight. I realize that my journey is now a more convergent journey, and that focusing in literally and figuratively into what is a future that is still generative and yet convergent rather than divergent, has been a real recognition of a similarity and difference, one of the tensions that play. So how can I still expand in a time and place when circumstances are contracting? What does that look like? How do you even play in that space? So that is one. The other one, which is broader, but no less intense for me, is the work in the community and theory and practice of human systems dynamics. So recognizing that this seed that was planted long ago that has borne many kinds of fruit, and each fruit is seeding itself in this ecology, whatever this global ecology looks like, where there is as much variety of perception and action as you can imagine, plus 50%. So I am constantly hearing new ways that people are using the work, new insights that they have, new places where they're practicing. So there is this exciting, thriving, expanding world of HSD theory and practice, which is just a delight. And there's a question about sustainability. So will the power of generation and sharing and expanding, as you've heard about in all the podcasts, certainly your very dear one as well, about what is that energy of sharing and expanding without exhausting the work? So how can the work both stretch and fold in the same way that I'm thinking about myself stretching and folding? How can it stay focused enough that it's still useful and clear and simple, and expanded enough that it can embrace all the infinite variety of what is the need in the world for this work of pattern shifting? And so that is an adaptive action, which is carrying on. The blessing for that one is that I'm not doing it by myself. That there are people, individuals in all parts of the world, in all walks of life, who are doing it in their own context. There are groups that are coming together to do it in various applications and perspectives. There are even groups who are coming together to think at the broadest sense about what is the future. How can we set conditions for a future to emerge? Not to lock it in, not to predict it, not to control it, but set conditions so that it can continue to thrive and expand as it does. And your work on the board of directors is a big part of that. The groups that are coming together to talk about the theory and practice and the governance, decision-making of a future community, and the convening of the community, all of those pieces come together. So in some ways, it too is finding a way to both expand and contract in a way that's organic and life-giving, generative. So those two are places where I'm focusing my energy, and they're both sometimes bumpy and sometimes smooth, but they're going.
So I'm also curious, Glenda, about two things. As you've reached 20 years in HSD, what do you know for sure? And also, what surprises you about human systems dynamics?
Good question. What I know for sure is that it's what the world needs right now and into the future, to have a way to think and feel and act and be in uncertainty with integrity. And that the tools of HSD and the principles and practices of HSD build the capacity to stand in that space. We call it adaptive capacity. We call it adaptive action. But as I see the world today and imagine the world tomorrow, I know without a doubt that if people can see patterns clearly and seek to understand and act with courage, we will be able to convert turbulence and uncertainty into possibility for all. We, that most inclusive we. So that I know for sure. I just have no doubt about that. I have at various times over the last 20 years wondered about that. and have tested it in various ways, but I am now convinced. And what surprises me, I'm surprised about how infinitely many ways there are to use and to think about and to enter the world of HSD. So we can think about HSD as a single thing, a kind of set in the path, but no two people have ever entered it by the same pathway. And so how, I'm just always surprised when people find it and then find a way into it and then find a way to its heart, and how infinitely many pathways there are. It's one of the reasons why this podcast series has been so lovely, is that each person has talked about their own journey in a really different way. And certainly there are underlying patterns that you can see across them all. But so I'm always surprised when and why a light dawns for someone and they step closer to the core of the work.
Well, thank you, Glenda, for giving us this awesome additional opportunity to walk with you on your journey in, through, and with HSD. And I can attest to what you're saying. The vision has helped me to become a different person. The thinking, the doing, the acting, and the being. That is what's possible when you step into HSD with the openness and the willingness. So again, I want to thank you, Glenda, for being here and sharing so much of your personal self, allowing us to get to know you better and to see just how much HSD is a part of your active daily life.
Thank you so much, Tamla. This has been really fun to share this journey. So thank you. Thank you. And I'm so glad that this is always the beginning of the next conversation, whatever that's going to be. So deep gratitude.
You're welcome. And it's definitely my privilege.